Hey, this is Peggy McKee. I am the CEO of Career Confidential and also the senior recruiter at PHC Consulting. And I'm here with Lawrence Shatkin today. And I'm going to let Lawrence tell you a little bit about himself, but we're going to talk about a very special book that he has just authored. But first, Lawrence, can you tell the folks that are listening to this a little bit about yourself? Why should we be listening to you?
I've been working in the field of career information now for 35 years. And I've written lots of books during that time, mostly about some of the high-paying careers and some of the careers with the best outlook. And as a result, it's something that I've developed some expertise in.
And you're really a researcher, right? Like you and I were talking because I do a lot of career coaching, and obviously at Career Confidential we have a lot of products to help people with their careers. But what your specialty is not the coaching, but that you know a lot about all the different career segmentations and the impact, certainly, of the financial piece of those segments.
Exactly. Yeah, I am a researcher as well as a writer, and I'm always trying to tease out a little more information from the available information that I can get. A lot of this comes from the U.S. Department of Labor. But I've done things like I've run correlations and done things like that to try to figure out what is it that makes one occupation different from another. What is it that makes something high paying? What is it that makes something locate in certain regions of the country rather than other regions of the country? So these are some of the things I look at.
So really, the person who should get your book is the person who is interested in guiding their career, not just allowing it to guide them, right? And be meaningful and decisive about where they want to go. And the reason that they can't just go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics is because to the common person going into there, it's very difficult, almost impossible to really gain any perspective just from the way they have it aligned. So you've sort of melted that down and put it into segments that are easier to chew?
That's my approach. I try to make it simple. I try to make it explain things in terms that everybody understands, and I try to gather a lot of different sort of figures in one place. So, for example, when I have a list of occupations, I usually include not only the earnings but also the outlook for them in terms of the percentage of growth and the number of annual openings, job openings.
Well, that's very important, right? Because just because the earnings are high, if there's no growth going to happen there, or if you're expecting negative growth, right, then you don't want to be jumping into that.
And, of course, the other thing is that these are just the economic rewards of the occupation. There are many other things that are related to the occupation that would make it suitable for you or not, the kinds of activities that go on, the work environment, the kinds of skills that are demanded of you. And I try to distill that information. And, again, that can be found in many different places. I try to put them in one place and do it in terms that people will understand.
Perfect. All right, so let's get to the topic at hand. We're at the six-figure occupation industry combination. You were telling me earlier how there's an interesting look at how if you combine the sort of the function title with the industry, you end up getting something different and even better than you'd experienced. Can you speak to that a little bit better?
Yes, certainly. There's some industries that just pay more than others, and they have to do sometimes with supply and demand, sometimes with the kinds of products that are being turned out by the industry. And so, for example, in chemistry, manufacturing doesn't pay anywhere near what research pays, and so or pharmaceuticals. And so these industries will make a difference. And it's possible to jump from one industry to another, but it's usually just easiest at the beginning to start out when you're entering the industry for the first time to pick an industry that's high paying and stay in that one as you gather industry knowledge. It may be a little harder to make that switch later on.
You know, that's really interesting because I was telling you I have an undergraduate degree in chemistry, and when I looked at the, you know, being in the chemistry industry, they weren't very friendly to me. And I would say that there were some different reasons that is, but they weren't very friendly. But when I took my little chemistry degree over to the clinical area in medical sales, they were very friendly to me.
Right. Well, I'm thinking of people actually working as chemists. So, for example, mm-hmm. you might be if you're working in chemical manufacturing, it might be difficult to move over into a career in say like pharmaceutical research. You know, they're very
mm-hmm.
different kinds of pursuits, and the background and the skills you'd gain in the one industry might not carry over so easily into the other one. So it can be a problem trying to boost your pay by jumping industries. But you know, in some fields, it's easier than in others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, I can think of doctor. Well, my brother-in-law is a pediatrician and worked, you know, looking at in kids' ears. And you do that a few thousand times, and it sort of loses its novelty or its appeal. And he went into teaching in a medical school instead. And so he was working from practicing to being in the field of education, and that was a pretty easy transition to make. So in some mm-hmm. some occupations, it's easier, and in between two fields, it might be easier than it is in some other situation.
Well, and I have an example of that again, and again, it's from chemistry to medical. In my mm-hmm. recruiting firm, sometimes I'll have companies that want me to help them hire technical specialists. So they want to hire someone who has a technical specialty. And they don't necessarily have to have the technical specialist in their area. They may be willing to train them, but they may need the building blocks. What do I mean by that? Well, they may be willing to take a biology major who's been, like, in an analytical lab of some sort, right?
Yeah.
Not related to healthcare. Maybe they've been grinding up seaweed or something else, right? They'll take
mm-hmm.
that person and make them into a technical specialist who has an extreme technical knowledge of their equipment. Say they've got a HPLC system, high-pressure liquid chromatography system. They'll take a biologist from the chemistry, or, you know, from an analytical lab, put them into healthcare, and that person is automatically worth $10,000 to $20,000 in base pay more, and guess what? With no additional education, right?
Right. That person has the basic skills, the technical knowledge, and can make that kind of switch. That's right. I know someone who did just the reverse. She has a degree in chemistry, and her job title is biologist now.
Wow. So there's all kinds of different things that can happen, right?
Many different kinds of ways people can reroute their careers, right?
So what a person might want to look at here is, especially if they're early in their career, given what you said about it being easier then, is take a look at the title and then look at the industries and see how the industry might make a difference on the titling as far as which one you want to go with, right?
Right, and sometimes it can go even earlier than your first job. Sometimes it can be a matter of what college or graduate school you graduate from. Some of them have more of a pipeline to one industry than to another. It might be that you have for example, an engineering school that's located in a steel town. Of course, there aren't very many steel towns left in the United States, but there could be some other industry. For example, if you're down in the Cape Canaveral area where there's aerospace and engineering going on, or you're in California where the aerospace industry is really hot, a technical school there might be more geared to that industry than one located, say, in the oil patch, which might have more of a petroleum orientation, and that would be a great place to get a petroleum engineering degree. And so sometimes that kind of orientation of the university can point you towards a certain industry where it's easier to get into that industry at that point, easiest of all, rather than waiting a few years down the road.